from less to more. Are you getting this? And I'm going, oh, Jesus, you're so good. In other words, you were made for more. Do you understand that? We were created for more, more life. Jesus said, I want you to have life more abundantly. That means your destiny.
Why do you run from me?
Are you running from the love of God? God's love never fails. Welcome to Love Never Fails, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, Fort Worth, with Pastor Bill Quinn. We're so glad that you've decided to join us today as Pastor Bill's study in Hebrews continues. Now, last time, we established Christ's absolute superiority over the angels, a truth confirmed by God with signs and wonders, with various miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit. But if Jesus is so high and exalted, how can he relate to our very human struggles? Let's join Pastor Bill as he addresses these questions with today's message, Why Jesus Became Man.
Amen. We're in Hebrews chapter 2. We're going to be beginning this morning in verse 5. As we look in Hebrews 2, we come to a section where, of course, this is the only book in the Bible that calls Jesus our high priest, our great high priest, amen? And so remember the theme, Jesus is better, Jesus is superior to any and all things, amen? 13 times in the Bible it says that Jesus is superior, or that it says Jesus is better or more superior, 13 times in Hebrews. Remember that this is a letter, not so much a sermon, but a letter, Hebrews 13:22, a letter of exhortation. It's written to encourage the Jewish believers, not to discourage them. In other words, you keep running the race. Don't quit, because they were not progressing, remember? They were regressing, and they were under great persecution. And here they are, the writer of Hebrews says, you know, you guys should have been teachers by now, but you can't handle the solid food. You're just back on a milk diet again. You need to be on the bottle. And he says, that's not what you need at all. But listen carefully now. Hebrews fell right into the divine calendar of God for this church. Amen? It is a revolutionary letter. And boy, we are in, I pray, revolution. And I pray that revolution floods our hearts as we see so great of salvation this morning, loved one. In verses 5 through 18, listen carefully now. I know that you've probably read Hebrews many, many times. But in verses 5 through 18 this morning, I'm covering more text this morning than I normally do. You're now standing on holy ground. The verses before us, the writer of Hebrews is going to give us 8 reasons, and 8 is the number of a new beginning, amen, in Hebrew and Greek. So 8 reasons why Jesus became man. 8 reasons why Jesus left heaven for us. Do you understand? Oh, and I say, oh, Lord, you're so good. Let's look at that this morning, why Jesus became man. Verse 5, for he has not put the world to come, of which we speak, in subjection to what? Angels. Are angels heir of salvation? No, we're the heirs of salvation. They're God's servants and God's ministers. Amen. They don't rule over anything. No, so it says he has not put the world to come. What does that mean? Well, the world to come means there's a new world coming. Oh, what a day that's going to be. But what world is the author? What is he speaking about? Is he speaking about heaven? No, he's not speaking about that at all. How do we know that? Because the word world in Greek there is not speaking of eternity or the world to come. It's speaking of the inhabited world, okay? And so we know then it's talking about the inhabited world of the future, meaning the millennial reign of Christ Jesus. In other words, the kingdom age, the 1,000-year reign, that glorious time. Angels don't rule in the kingdom age, amen? No, who's going to reign? Our Lord's going to reign, and we're going to reign with him. Amen? Now, I want you to listen very carefully this morning, because last night, as I all day long yesterday as I was preparing, I had it down, but it wasn't what I needed. But then late last night, I got it. And my wife is the one who helped me. Thank God for Becky. And we were talking. I said, honey, I'm just so struggling today for this sermon. And then she looked at me, you know, and she said, well, it's about more. I said, what? I said, you know, Hebrews. Hebrews is about more. And I said, yes, that's exactly right. Hebrews is about more. Do you know how many times the word more is mentioned in Hebrews? 21 times. I want y'all to look them up when you get home. 21 times. Now listen, when we go through there, Jesus, he's been given a name, a more excellent name than the angels. Amen? And you can study it all. He has more glory than Moses. He has a more excellent ministry, a more perfect tabernacle. God remembers our sins no more. Man, how much more shall the blood of Jesus, amen? So it's all about more. And listen, this sermon, this is what you call a sermon that is hot off the press because it was finished about 10 minutes ago, loved one. All right? Now listen. So look at verse 6 now. Look what the author does. He's going to move into Psalm 8. And it says in Hebrews 2:6, he's going to quote Psalm 8. But one testified in a certain place saying, what is man? That you, meaning God, that you're mindful of man, are the son of man, that you take care of him. Now, don't miss this. Verse 5 was the world, the future world, the millennial reign, the kingdom age. But verse 6 is the past world, meaning Adam, when he was created. So the author does something, and you should read Psalm 8 when you get home. But he only quotes a portion of the Psalm of David, which is Psalm 8, and he quotes verses 4 through 6, which describe the incredible wonder of the creation of man and all that God has done for him and his role. He says, what is man? That is a huge word for today, isn't it? What is man? Oh, listen, this fallen, broken world that we live in, this broken society, this broken, fallen culture that we live in, listen, they are filled today, lost man. They're filled with demonic delusions about what a man is, about what a woman is, what a little boy is, or what a little girl is. We live in the craziest times. Man, listen, fallen man, David said, what is man that you love him, that you're mindful of him, that you visit him, that you take care of him? You know, the Bible tells us how far we have fallen from Adam, from the garden. The Bible tells us in Romans 1:23, you know what they did? It says they exchanged the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man and birds and four-footed animals and creeping things. So they exchanged God. They traded God in. In other words, where they worship self. In other words, they worship the creature more than the creator. See, whenever that starts happening in society, when you stop the worship of God, there's a digression that takes place. You can start worshiping, well, let me read it. They start worshiping birds. Can you imagine worshiping a sparrow? You know, they started worshiping four-footed animals. Moo. You know what I'm saying? They started worshiping creeping things. Would you ever worship a cockroach? No. Would you ever worship the Dallas Cowboys? Come on, man. No. You don't do things like that. No, listen. And that's what it is. So what is man? Think about it. What is man? Well, the Bible says man is only a vapor that appeareth for a little while. That flesh is like the grass of the world. It just, you know, one day it's here, one day it is gone. But listen to me. I tell you, if you're not right with God, if you're listening on the radio, you're listening live, or maybe you're here, if you're not right with God, the evening of grace is nearly over. We're in the evening of grace. We're not in the morning of grace, loved one. We're in the age of grace, but it is evening. And only God tells us what man is. The Bible is very clear. Genesis 1:27, man is created in the image of God. Amen? Not only that, in the next verse, verse 28, it says that God gave unto Adam and unto Eve, said, you rule over the earth. You have dominion over the fish, the birds, all of it. You take care, you just rule over everything, every living thing. And then in verse 7, again, the Psalm 8, verse 5 now, and you've made him a little lower, or you could read it this way, you have made him a little less. Everyone say less. Less. You've made him a little less, actually, than divinity, if you read it in Psalm 8. Less than divinity. He says, you've made them a little lower, a little less than the angels. Now watch this about man. From less, now to more. and you've crowned him with glory, honor. You set him over the works of your hands. Adam was made to rule, and he blew it. He lost his crown. He lost the glory. He lost the honor. And today, we live in a broken world, and broken men rule in this world today, but they do so without God. Amen? You know, the Bible is very clear. The wisdom of this world is foolishness unto God. Amen? Look at verse 8. You've put all things in subjection under his feet. Now, we're talking about man. For in that he put all in subjection under him, he left nothing that was not put under him, meaning Adam. But now we do not see all things put under him. Boy, that's a true word. I mean, there's no guesswork involved here. I mean, it's evident that are they exercising dominion over the creation? No, when's the last time a big bulldog chased you and, you know, you didn't say, no, you didn't do that. It's evident that all things are not under man's feet. Matter of fact, the only thing we see is the mess that man has made in this world. Why? Because the world is broken and it's filled with broken people. So what is the answer to all of what we just read? Well, the first reason why Jesus became man was because Adam blew it, amen? And he had to come back. He had to become man. What do we see now? It says, but we see who? Jesus. That's the first mention in Hebrews of his name, by the way. Jesus, God's last word to mankind. He's the only way. He's the only name. Well, matter of fact, he's man's only answer. So what is man that God is mindful of him? There's the answer right there. Jesus became man. The Son of God became the Son of Man. Now listen, Jesus became less, didn't he? Yes. Come on. Very important. He became less because man was created for more. You've got to get that into your heart this morning. Jesus, he left heaven, didn't he? Yes. He became less, not in divinity. He became one of us, didn't he? Yes. Without sin. He became less. Why? Because man was created for more, and Adam lost it all. Have you seen Jesus lately? I haven't seen Jesus. Listen, but you know what? It says that we do see him. Let me tell you how. 1 Peter 1:8, it says, Peter says, whom having not seen, you love. Though now you do not see Jesus, yet believing, you rejoice with joy inexpressible. That word there, only found here in the Greek, inexpressible. It means, number one, you can't contain it. And number two, human language is incapable of expressing it. You haven't seen him yet. You rejoice with inexpressible joy, full of glory. Peter just said, we rejoice. We have that joy now, not when we get to heaven. Amen. Listen, did Peter see Jesus? Yes. He was there at the Transfiguration. He was there. He saw on the cross, the empty tomb, the resurrection, his ascension. He saw it, didn't he? Okay, but listen to me. We've not seen Jesus. So how can we have that kind of joy? How can we love whom we have not seen? How can that happen? Well, loved one, it's really very simple. Our love for Jesus is not based on sight. Amen? I mean, I know I'm going to heaven, but I've not seen heaven. I've not seen Jesus, but I have seen him. Well, Bill, how in the world have we seen that? Well, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:7 that we walk by faith and not by sight. Amen? But the main reason is because I have and you have experienced him. We are born again. Amen? Christ in me, the hope of glory. Amen? But more than that, Romans 5:5, and this hope does not disappoint, for the love of God, his love, the love of God has been shed abroad or poured out into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, who has been given unto us. The reason we love Jesus is because we have his love in us right now. Amen? So it's right there. And he says, but we see Jesus who is made. That's a very important word. Made means caused to be less. Okay? But we see Jesus who was made a little lower. Now listen carefully. That word means literally for a little time. Okay? He was made a little lower for a little time than the angels. So For 33 years, Jesus walked this planet, amen? And he did what angels could never, ever do. Listen, he did it all to give man more. That's what's important this morning. The Creator of angels left heaven, man, and became a little lower than angels. What kind of love is that? What Jesus did for us? See, Jesus had to become man to fulfill God's purpose for man because man lost it in the garden. Does that make sense? Okay, very important. So the second reason why Jesus became man, watch it, for the suffering of death. He took our place. He's our substitute. He died, but then watch what happens. It goes from the past for the suffering of death, and then it goes from less to more, crowned with glory and honor, that he, meaning Jesus, by the grace of God, giving unto us what we never deserved, might taste death for how many people? Everyone. That word literally means every individual. Every person he tasted death for, every person that has ever been born, Jesus tasted death for. Why? John 3:16. Amen? Yes. You know why people are lost today? They don't believe John 3:16. All you have to do is believe. The word believe in John 3:16 activates it. If you believe it, you'll be saved. Amen? Yes. Now, I want you to catch this. It doesn't say death. It says the suffering of death, okay? Very important. It doesn't say just death. It says he tasted death. The wages of sin, Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death, spiritual death, meaning eternal separation from God. Not just physical death, but eternal death, separating from God forever and ever. But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. So there, the suffering of death then is more than the beatings. It's more than the scourging. It's more than the crown of thorns. It's more than the plucking out of our Lord's beard. It's more than all those things, even more than the nails in his hand and his feet. No, the suffering of death is deep. Do you know that the suffering of death for our Lord was God's will? Let me give you the scripture, Isaiah 53:4. He says, surely or certain, it's certain, that Jesus, or the Messiah, he has borne, that means to carry away, he has borne our griefs, not his griefs, our griefs. If you look up that Hebrew word griefs, you know what you're going to find? It means sickness. He's bore our sicknesses and our weaknesses and our distress and our spiritual and physical pain. It says, and he's carried our sorrows, not his sorrows. It says, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten of God, afflicted by God. But he was wounded or pierced for our transgressions. Not, he was sinless. He was bruised or crushed for our iniquities. And the chastisement or the correction for our peace was upon him. See, he had to, the peace had to fall on him if we were going to have peace with God. Amen. By his stripes we are healed, Isaiah 53:10. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. See, that was God's plan from all eternity. And he has put him to grief. And when you make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. That's the heirs of salvation, loved one. He shall see his seed, and he shall prolong his days. And the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. Now listen to me. Why did it please God for Jesus Christ, his son, to leave heaven, become the God-man, and go and die a horrible death on the cross? Why did that happen? Why was that God's great joy, if you will? Because it's God's great desire to justify mankind. Do you know that? Yes, listen. In other words, listen to me now. When God created Adam, look what all that he had. Do you know that you were made for more? No. You were made for more, and you settle for less. We cannot do that anymore. Do you understand? We have to get away from that. Jesus tasted death. What does that mean? For everyone, whatever death is, the full dosage of the full extent, the full depth, he experienced it, all of it. Whatever death really is for you, for me, for everyone. One scholar says this, the death that Jesus tasted was the curse of sin. And what Jesus felt while dying on the cross was the total agony of every soul in hell for all eternity put together. suffered in only a few hours. And all the punishment for all the sin of all time was the death of his death. He was guilty of no sin, yet he suffered for all sin. Why? Look at verse 10. For it was fitting, it was right, it was proper for him for whom are all things and by whom are all things. Jesus created everything, sustains all things. Amen? It says, in bringing many sons to glory. So the third reason, why did Jesus become man, the God-man? Well, to bring many sons to glory. Now watch this. To bring them, that means from less to more. Are you following me? Very, very important. I mean, how could the Jewish believers then, and how can we today, neglect such an incredible salvation, loved one? We were broken. We were in Adam. In Adam all die. Now we are in Christ and we shall all be made alive. Amen? Man, we're going to live with him forever. And I'm going, oh God, you're so good. Jesus became man. Why? Well, he tasted death for mankind. To those who believe too, we're now born again. But he did it so he could lead us someplace. We're going to go to glory. No, do you understand that? We really are. We're going to go to glory. And he says, to make the captain, that word means the founder, the originator, the one who goes first, the author, like in the Hebrews 12, 2, when it says that Jesus is the author, the finisher of our salvation. Amen? It says, to make the captain of their salvation, what? Perfect. And how did he do it? Through sufferings. In other words, his death on the cross. Does that mean that Jesus was imperfect? No, of course not. The perfect one had to die for us. The one who had never sinned. Listen, Jesus is the captain. He is the author. He's the provider. He's the finisher of our salvation. Our captain went first. He's already there. He's waiting on us to come home. Amen? He's already paved the way for us. And since he created us for glory, It's only fitting, loved one, that he should provide a way to reach the end. You see the word perfect there, their salvation, perfect. Perfect means this. Jesus finished the goal for us. Do you understand? When Jesus said, it is finished, everything we need for salvation was done. Okay, so it means to finish the goal. He originated salvation. He finishes and completes our salvation by dying as us, for us, on the cross. Now look at 11. For both he who sanctifies, now that's Jesus, and those who are being sanctified, that ongoing process. Listen, sanctification, the work of the Holy Spirit in the life of the believer, taking us from glory to glory. Amen? Okay, now listen, glory to glory means you go from less to more, less to more. Do you understand? It doesn't mean you go to less to less to less by following Jesus. See, the more from glory to glory, the more you go, the more you're like Jesus. That's the goal, to be conformed into his image. Amen? Okay, so we got to get that under our hat. So it says, being sanctified, that's less to more again. Now watch that. Are all of one. That's our unity. The incredible unity that we have. The sons and the daughters in unity are the son, you could say, and the many that he's leading to glory. We're in unity with him. See, Jesus' death, when we trust in him, something happens. We are made holy in the eyes of God and now belong to the same family. Amen? Let me give you some scriptures. Hebrews 10:10. By that will, meaning God's will, we have been, now that's a past tense, a past act, a present reality, meaning it's a fact. By that will, we have been sanctified. How? Through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all. Now listen carefully. By one sacrifice, Christian, you have been declared holy forever by God.
As we close part one of today's study, the powerful message for us is this. We have a Savior who truly understands us. Our key takeaway is the confidence we can have in approaching God's throne of grace. Because Jesus perfectly knows and understands our struggles, we can come to him boldly, not relying on our own merit, but on his finished work. He is our merciful and faithful high priest, able to help us in our time of need. So join us tomorrow for the second half of this message. And until then, may the Lord bless you and keep you. If you'd like more information regarding Calvary Chapel Fort Worth, Love Never Fails International, or the Love Never Fails radio broadcast, please visit our website at ccfortworth.org or download the CCFW app. Pastor Bill would also like to personally invite you to join us for any of our three services here at Calvary Chapel Fort Worth. For service times and directions, please visit ccfortworth.org or call our toll-free number, 866-729-1999. That's 866-729-1999. If you're unable to worship with us in person, our live streaming allows you to join us virtually via the CCFW app, Apple TV, Facebook, YouTube, or our Roku channel. So until our next broadcast, may we encourage you with these words. Love bears, believes, hopes, and endures all things. Love never fails.